Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guests are Leanne Moore, owner of Oceanside Jams, and her father, Don Duclos. Don, you have been one of Leanne's best berry pickers for years and years, and I want to know, how long have you been picking berries with Leanne?
I don't know. It's been several years.
Several years? About 7 years?
7 years. I'll settle for that.
Okay. And you pick all kinds of different berries for the jams that Leanne makes. What are some of the berries that you pick?
Thimbleberries, salmon berries, blueberries, huckleberries, you name it. We pick it.
Now, thimbleberries, that kind of always blows me away because I have some thimbleberries on my property. And when I go over there to pick them, it doesn't come away as a whole berry. It just, you peel this very delicate cap off the top of the thimbleberry. And it is a really exquisite flavor. But they're so delicate. I mean, how do you do that? How do you pick berries for that?
The thing is that the berries that you're picking, when they come off like that, they're overripe. If they're just about right, the whole thing comes off easily. But if they're overripe, that's like most berries. They just turn to mush when you grab them.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought that was when they were perfectly ripe, was when
they're just a hair overripe
then. There's still not a whole lot of berries for a plant, it seems like, at least the plants I've seen. But you probably have some secret locations that you go picking that might have more thimbleberries.
We do. But there's a lot of places where we do pick on along Caltrans, along the highway. They have mowed everything down. So every year it's different. And drought, some of the areas where we get them, so many of them, there's just dead bushes now. And everything's coming on so soon. It's coming on a month to 6 weeks earlier this year and last year than it did before.
Yeah, it's different than a lot of crops where you kind of know, well, if I plant this time, I can harvest at that time. You kind of got to keep an eye out. Leanne, do you do that? Do you kind of keep an eye on where the berries are that you normally pick and how they're coming along?
We certainly do. We're always scouting every time we go out, even if it's going to the grocery store. We'll go by our favorite street, even in Eureka, where we know some plants are growing, and check out where they're at. Are they ripening? Are they still like 2 to 3 weeks off, that type of thing. So we're always scouting wherever we're at.
And I'm wondering, like, are some of the locations that you pick in are more urban areas and some are more rural areas? Is it kind of a mix? Do you have, like, secret locations that are even in town?
Yes.
I see you're not going to let me know where those locations are that are secret. That's why they're secret.
I want to tell you, if you'd have seen us last week when we were picking berries, we were right up on the sidewalk. We had a ladder up in the tree, and the cars were going by us left and right.
And nobody stopped you, and you were just very sly, and you picked all the berries that were available there.
Yes, we were on a very heavily traveled street in Eureka, and we looked like three clowns up there trying to, like, what are they trying to do? We have a ladder coming out of my truck, and we're up high because it was one of the best red huckleberry bushes I've seen in a long, long time. Yeah. They were very, very plumped, and it was a very prolific bush, and it was just perfect. Everything you wanted to see in a red huckleberry. So we couldn't pass it up.
Well, you know, if you go into the grocery store, you're not going to see some of these berries. I mean, I've never seen anybody ever can these fruits that you can. Why is it so important to can native berries?
Being part Native American and growing up on a Native American reservation, it was something I always did all my life, was go out and forage with my grandma and my mother and other folks in our family and pick the native blackberries, the huckleberries, the red huckleberries, the thimbleberries, and things like that. So it was something we always grew up with. And I became a master food preserver in 2003 and saw how important it is to know what you're eating and to continue canning our native berries in Humboldt County and actually in Del Norte County as well.
I know that a lot of the locations that you go to sell your jams are small local events. They're not really huge, huge events. But it seems like there's almost a mission to allow people to taste these things that are taste of home.
As you see, my dad and I pick all these berries. So we can only pick so many berries every season. And every season, it could be plentiful. It could be very, you know, slight in berries or very small amount of berries out there. So we pick as much as we can. as often as we can, but I'm finding after the seventh year picking my shoulder, my wrist, my fingers are starting to wear out a little bit. So there's only a certain amount of berries we can pick. There's only a certain amount we can produce.
Uh-huh.
So we have a limited supply of what we have. I am going down to Sonoma County because I've been invited to go down there to their big heirloom festival where there's 200 plus vendors. I will be down there in mid-September visiting that event before I actually be a vendor at that event. I would like to get bigger, but it's just not possible with our particular circumstances that we deal with.
There's only so much you can do.
Right.
Well, and I remember years ago, Starbucks approached you and said, oh, we think these native berries are wonderful. Would you produce native berries for Starbucks?
Right. And they first said, 700 jars a week, and then they would want to go up to 2,000 jars a week. We don't make that type of volume to satisfy that type of customer. We're very small. Artisan-type berries. I will enter, the Good Foods contest every year. In fact, they called yesterday wanting me to enter again because I do enter things like the thimbleberry jam, the red huckleberry jam, and so forth, and get my product a little bit more knowledgeable that way.
Uh-huh. Now, let's talk about cleaning berries, because I think that's one of the things. Every time I look at my black huckleberries on my plant, I go, oh, I really should make huckleberry jam, but I'm just... Cleaning the berries is such a chore. Now, Dawn, do you have a technique for picking that allows you to have better quality, less stems, less, bad
one,
berries?
One stem at a time.
One stem at a time. And hand-picking the actual berries that you want, not just stripping.
Well, I do both.
Uh-huh.
When I get them home, I can clean them for hours trying to get all the stems. You got to get all the stems out of it. Other than that, that's the worst part of it all.
Yeah.
He uses a terry cloth towel and, rubs them and rolls them around on the towel to help get all the stems and debris off. Then my mother will often double check his work.
It's important to have quality control like that, because I know by the time you're done doing them, you don't care what you're really seeing in there anymore. You're like, oh, a few stems here and there won't hurt anything. Well, in your beautiful gem-colored liquid jam, you really would notice something like a stem floating in there. And you're really particular about the quality of your jams.
Yeah, I usually do three cleanings of every batch before I actually put it in, into a jam or into the freezer to make a jam. So it takes a lot of cleaning. And I would have to give my hats off to my mom because she really double checks our work. Because by the time we get home and we're done, we're pretty much done.
Yeah.
But she comes on board. Even last night, she was cleaning my huckleberries and red huckleberries because, we've had a lot of production and a lot of berry picking the last 48 hours. And it was like, okay, Mom, you take over. You find all the stems. You find all the debris and get that out of our berries. And that's what she did last night.
I bet she says some things about your quality control as she's doing that. I can just imagine her doing that.
I just want to go back to the thimbleberry issue. It takes 1,500 to 1,700 berries to make one batch of thimbleberry jam, and that's like 8 8-ounce jars. So it's quite a feat to go out there and continuously pick thimbleberries. We have probably 7 to 9 patches we go to on a regular basis, and we pick at least once a day one of those patches. Usually twice a day we hit 2 or 3, just continuously, because the thimbleberries are only ripe for 2 to 3 days, and then they fall off. So we are out there continuously looking for thimbleberries and continuously going to the patches that we know and often finding new patches or new little areas where we can pick as well.
Now, if people wanted to get a jar of your jam, where might they go?
They would go to Lolita Meat Market in Lolita, which they're open Tuesday through Saturday, 8 to 5, or Neal and Glenn Farm Stand. It's halfway between Eureka and Arcata on Myrtle Avenue, pretty close to Three Corners Store, and they're open every day from 12 to 6.
Great. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Leanne Moore and Dawn Duclos. Thank you so much.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.